Will you open your Bibles, please, today to the Gospel of Matthew, that portion of the Word of God which we are studying together, and today we would like for you to open your Bibles, if you are able to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, because today we are going to begin a study of a period in the life of our Lord which I have designated Journeying Toward Jerusalem. True it is, the Lord Jesus Christ had been journeying toward Jerusalem for some time. But as we have noticed for our studies in the past period, he had been tarrying by the way, talking about offenses, what causes men to stumble, and teaching the disciples some necessary lessons. In this portion that we are going to be considering with you, beginning with the third verse of the 19th chapter and continuing actually through the first verse of the 21st chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be answering questions which were posed to him during these days. And those questions are exceedingly important because they affect us today, and the answers that he gave then are the same answers which we as the teachers of the Word of God should give, for we must always base our answers to any questions upon the written Word of God. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, we read, "It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan." Now the phrase, "when Jesus had finished these sayings," refers to the material we have covered in our last series of studies. I repeat, the offenses that come to men because men are careless in the way they live, and the necessary lessons that needed to be learned. The period ends, as I have suggested to you, in Matthew 21:1, and I think it would be wise for you to slip over there in your Bibles or listen carefully to this statement where we read, "When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples," and the passage goes on to describe that they went to find a place where they might observe together what we know now as the Lord's Supper. They, of course, were going to observe the Passover feast. So, with that order on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ, one period ends and another period so begins. But we will be thinking with you about this portion, which begins with Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, and concludes with the first verse, if we want to anticipate ourselves a bit, of the 21st chapter, or the last verse of the 20th chapter. Now, if you are familiar with this portion of the Word of God, and may I interrupt myself to say that if you are not, I would appreciate it so much if you would read these two chapters. We will be discussing them for a number of days, but we want you to be familiar with the whole picture, because obviously, in view of the time that is allotted to us for each individual study, we cannot read the whole paragraph, or the whole section, rather, at one sitting. If you would read them, then when we divide it up and put it in bite-sized morsels, so to speak, I think you will get more out of it. So when you become familiar with this portion of the Word of God, you will recognize that it is filled with questions. We're going to examine these questions as they were asked concerning a number of things. But in order that you might read with understanding, if you do as I have suggested to you, I want to give you a brief preview of the questions that are going to be asked during this particular section of the Gospel of Matthew, or in this particular section during these days as they journeyed toward Jerusalem. These are the questions concerning a number of things found in these chapters. In chapter 19, verses 3 through 15, there are questions concerning marriage. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 26, there is a question concerning eternal life. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, through the 16th verse of chapter 20, there is a question concerning rewards. And then finally, in chapter 20, verses 17 through 34, there is a question concerning the position or the portion of reward and rule that men will have in the kingdom of heaven when it actually comes to the earth. We might say this question is related to the position that men will have in the millennial kingdom. Having given you the preview of what we are to expect, I want us now to begin a discussion of the question concerning marriage. It is described, as I have suggested to you, in verses 3 through 15 of chapter 19. I want to suggest to you that the question concerning marriage is actually made up of two questions and what I refer to as an epilogue. There is, first of all, a question asked by the Pharisees concerning divorce. Then there is a question asked by the disciples concerning celibacy. And then, in what I refer to as an epilogue, because it was not a question, there is the place of children, not only in connection with the subject of marriage, divorce, and celibacy, but with the place of children in the kingdom of heaven. I think if we are to understand all that we are going to be reading in this portion of the Word, it will be important for us to think with you about the real reason why these people, these Pharisees, ask this question. Some people, I think, ask questions just so they can be heard. Some people ask with a definite purpose. Hopefully all questions are sincerely asked with the thought of gaining information. And by the way, we would like to remind you that any time you have any Bible question that you would like to ask, feel free to write to us, and we'll get you the answer as soon as we can. Never apologize for asking a question concerning the Word of God. As I have said to you at other times, when I have been dealing with medical men, and because of problems related to health, I've had quite a bit of experience with medical men and hospitals and so forth, and they've been very kind to discuss situations with me. But when they do, oftentimes, after they've made a statement, I will say, "What do you mean by that?" And they are kind enough to explain. One such medical man, who was somewhat of a personal friend, in contrast to some medical men whom I did not have the opportunity of developing an acquaintance with, said to me one day, when I said that very thing, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Someday I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to ask you every question about the Bible I can think of, and then I'm going to say to you, 'What do you mean by that?'" And I said to him, "That is exactly what you do. That's exactly what you should do. You are a medical man. All of these terms are familiar to you, and they are not to me. I need to know. Likewise, because by God's grace, I have spent over 55 years in the study of the Word of God, I would make statements that would be perfectly clear to me, but not necessarily clear to the people to whom I minister the Word. Therefore, every person should have the freedom and the liberty to ask whatever question they would like. And I want to say to you today, my dear friend, if I say anything at any time in the teaching of the Word of God, and you do not understand what I'm saying, do not hesitate to write and let me know, so that I can tell you what I've said. True, we cannot always agree on our understanding of the Word of God. That's one reason why we must always teach the Word in love, and we must always take our positions in love, because our finite minds prevent us from coming to common agreement about some passages of Scripture. Now, some passages of Scripture, in fact, I think I could safely say the major portion of the Word of God, there is no need for disagreement on, but occasionally there is a passage, one man will take one position and another another position, but in love we recognize that right. And what I'm saying is that if you have a question about anything that I say, you feel perfectly free to write and ask me why I said what I said. We'll give you the answer, and if you can accept it, fine. If you don't quite see how that could be, and I can't give you any more information, then in love we can agree to disagree. For the wonderful thing about our fellowship in the Lord is that we are members one of another, and members one of another as the members of our body are members one of another. So that, as the scripture says, the hand cannot say to the eye, I have no need of you, and so forth. We need one another, so feel free to write and ask whatever question you wish. Well, I certainly did not plan to say all that today. I planned for us to get further along in the study of the Word. And yet I try to be obedient to the direction of the Spirit of God, and I felt that I needed to say that. I hope you accept it in the spirit in which I have said it. We have just begun, and here the time is nearly gone, to discuss the question which the Lord Jesus asked concerning, or which the Lord Jesus was asked concerning marriage. And we were beginning to look at the purpose for asking that question. We said that the Pharisees asked that question, and they should have been asking it for information, but really they were not. They were asking it for another reason. Now, I could tell you what that reason is today, but I wouldn't have time to talk about it if I did. So I'm going to suggest that you plan to be with us tomorrow in our next study and get the answer. Also, may I remind you that outline studies of this portion we are discussing are available for you in print if you would like to have them. And if for some reason you're not able to hear a broadcast, you can peruse the outline study and keep up with the study. Just write and ask for outline studies in the Gospel of Matthew. May God bless you richly today.